Now, I'm going to be speaking about resiliency and recovery among African-American women. When it comes to intimate partner violence, women who actually experience abuse are at very much increased risk for contracting STIs and HIV. So that's one of the reasons why I actually want to do this work. But let me give you a little, okay, oh, hang on. Name's confused. Oh, yeah, nothing to disclose. I'm not making no money off of this. Okay, so hopefully by the end of this, you'll be able to list three culturally specific factors that impact the psychological recovery of women. This is still preliminary. We're still developing the theories. And hopefully identify two factors that impact the prevalence of intimate partner violence within the African-American community. Now, I always like to start off like this. So a few years ago, I was laying on the floor of my apartment right around the time I was getting my dissertation. And I was thinking about, do I want to do domestic violence? It's kind of a heavy topic. And then I was listening to this. I don't know if you've ever heard this song, My Man by Ella Fitzgerald, but part of the phrase was, but I love him. I don't know why I should. He isn't good. He isn't true. He beats me too. What can I do? Now you can imagine I'm laying on the floor going, what? What in the world? Rewind. Is she saying what I just thought she said? And when we're talking about domestic violence in the African-American community, we're still talking about a subject that's still relatively silent, that's been going on for decades. And it's often actually portrayed in the music that you see that African-American women actually develop, especially in blues and jazz. So for those of you that don't know much about intimate partner violence, let me just give you a quick overview of what it is, a very quick overview. I have a class on this at the institution I teach at. First of all, there's no agreed upon definition among institutions. There are elements that we agree upon, but no one definition. But when we're talking about, and this comes from the Centers for Disease Control, when we're talking about domestic violence, we're talking about physical, sexual, or psychological harm. And that can come in the form of a woman battering a male and same-sex partners battering each other. But for this current study, we're talking about heterosexual females. Heterosexual females involved in relationships with, obviously, men, heterosexual female men. There are also other forms that it comes in as well, including financial abuse, where one partner withholds the funds from another partner or doesn't allow the other partner to work, so that partner is basically trapped in the relationship itself. And then spiritual abuse. Has anybody ever heard of spiritual abuse before? Nobody ever heard of it. Exactly, things like that. And particularly what a lot of men, and this is really prominent down in South Carolina. Did I just say that with a southern twang? I sure did. In South Carolina, is that the men will use specific passages from the Bible to make themselves seem up here and the women down there. So if you've got a particularly religious woman, then that's something that he can use to control her. Check out Ephesians. That's one chapter that there will be. Now, there are a lot of different statistics on intimate partner violence, but there's one that's a little dated, but I think it's still good, by the American Medical Association, that one in three women will be the victim of abuse during her lifetime. So that doesn't just mean the physical abuse. It also means the emotional abuse, the psychological abuse, all those other types of abuse that I was just talking about. But what really concerned me, I did my work down in South Carolina, go Gamecocks, USC. But what really concerned me is in that state, we were number one in the nation for the amount of women that died by the hands of an intimate partner. And in particular, when I started actually delving into it, I found that domestic violence is actually a leading cause of death among African-American women between the ages of 15 and 24. And I actually just read something recently that estimate is maybe between 15 and 45 now. It's definitely one of the top reasons for death among the younger women in the population. It's even more concerning is if you look at the racial comparisons. Now, when we're talking about comparing to other races, there are different reporting issues that go along with this. I will admit this right now. But time and time again, when you look at the literature, African-American women are always most at risk for being involved in an abusive relationship. One study actually estimated that black women are 35% more likely to experience domestic violence than are white women. The only group that black women doesn't outshine, not exactly the word I wanted to use, but Native American women are more likely to experience domestic violence among all these women as well, but I focus on African-American women. The racial discrimination, now why are the rates of prevalence higher among African-American women? There are several theories out there, nothing solidified yet, but obviously racial discrimination as a stressor. If you go through life every day walking on eggshells because of the color of your skin, that's going to provide a lot of stress to you. Particularly when it comes to black males in the community, this is cute. Hold on, just bear with me. There are two researchers that do research on black males and domestic violence. One is Oliver Williams, the other one is William Oliver. And I always confuse the two, but they both talk about the same thing, though, that black men are under so much stress because they're basically dehumanized on a day-to-day basis that they now take out all of their angst on a safe target, which is African-American women. Relatively, what they consider to be a safer target are African-American women. Obviously, education is going to be an issue, specifically conflict resolution strategies. Socioeconomic status, including poverty, as a massive stressor. And also, black women are more likely to retaliate. Can I get an amen on that? Black women are more likely to retaliate than women from other groups, meaning that if he gets aggressive towards her, oftentimes she's going to, not all the time, but oftentimes she's going to get aggressive towards him as well. What that does, it puts her at increased risk for severe injury because then he's going to retaliate physically. So let's talk a little bit about resiliency and recovery. The reason why I wanted to do this work, I started my work in the University of South Carolina, and I really wanted to look at help seeking. What prevents black women from reaching out for help when they're actually experiencing domestic violence? And I found a lot of things. And then I continued that work in Massachusetts. But what I kept hearing time and time and time again throughout the interviews was the phrase, I wish somebody could have just helped me out in some way. I wish somebody could help me get back on my feet. And what they meant by that was that, yes, there were shelters around. There were people that would help them navigate the judicial system. But what helps you be whole, again, here and also here? So from there, I decided I really need to start creating programs for these women that have actually gone through these unfortunate situations. And my programs are designed to actually enhance resilience. I'm not going to read that whole thing. Resilience is basically, how do you bounce back from adversity? And I think we can all agree that if you've been involved in a domestic relationship, a domestic abusive relationship, that's a form of adversity and very traumatic as well. And specifically, I'm still looking at what specific tools, strategies, and messages can be used. So the current study. The purpose of the present study is to explore the factors that impact the psychological resiliency in this particular population. Now, I've already interviewed about 50 women that have actually experienced domestic violence, and I'm going to bring some of their stories into this as well. But this current study is about those who actually work with those women, including domestic violence advocates and service providers. Very few studies have actually examined resilience among African-American survivors of intimate partner violence. There are a lot of studies about resilience among African-American women, period, but not specific to intimate partner violence. And all this information is being used, my students are actually helping with me with this, to create a life strategy course for IPV survivors, and I have no idea why I put that up there. Give me a second. Oh, yes, now I do. Okay. Really, the whole project is designed around looking at an ecological approach to doing this, but the thing that's most fascinating to us right now is really looking at the interpersonal relationships that these women have, as well as the psychological nuances of what's going on with these women as well. So the methods, remember these are preliminary findings. Using grounded theory, specifically in-depth interviews with service providers, domestic violence advocates, and actually two domestic violence shelter directors. They were all female, but somebody asked me, were they all African American at one point in time? No, because honestly, you don't have to have just African American service providers in order to answer these really tough questions. So I got a diversity of individuals to talk to me about this, and I got a really rich data set as a result of it. I believe that's supposed to be 9 none of these people had actually experienced intimate partner violence themselves, so they were intimately involved with it and had knowledge of it. All the interviews were recorded, transcribed, and imported. Oh, really? Imported into Atlas TI. So the results. One result you see time and time again, if you look at the literature, in black women's lives, God, the church, spirituality are very important in resiliency and coping. For a lot of women, without this in their lives, they really wouldn't have anything else to turn to in their lives. So that firm belief that God exists and that he's actually looking out for me is something that's necessary. So Susan says, for many of these women, everyone in their lives have left them because of the abuse, which is true. A lot of women get, their mothers leave them, their fathers, their sisters leave them because they can't take the abusive relationship. God and church become their only solace. So as I was thinking about this advocate's response, I remember, ooh, somebody else said God is solace. Somebody else said God is solace. And it was one of my participants. She said God was my only solace. It was through him that I was able to let go of that man. The other idea is the need for safe social support. We always talk about social support, but what I found interesting in these responses was the need for safe social support. And what I basically mean by that is a lot of these women would try to turn to a family member or friends for support, and the person would give them support, tangible support or some other support, but that emotional support was not there. Primarily because, I'll read what Irene has to say first. I'm going to tell you the truth. I love her. I'm going to tell you the truth. Black folks tend to be really hard on each other. We feel like we need to discipline each other with harsh words and lack empathy when we do so, was the rest of that. So they see her getting battered and suddenly she's stupid or she's weak. That is not a safe place to be. You go to get some sort of support and your family members turn around and basically call you an idiot because you're still with that man. That is not going to help that woman's situation at all. It's going to make her feel awful. So another person from Massachusetts, this is one of my other participants that was a survivor, said, no way I would turn to my family. You know how black folks get. You got to come down anything and everything. I didn't feel like I was cared for or treated right by them who was supposed to get my back. So she did not feel supported by the people that claimed to love her. This burgeoning awareness was something else that we kind of discovered through our data and talking to the service providers. It's a little bit difficult to explain for us right now, but basically there was this dawning awareness among African American women in particular that this situation ain't right. Oftentimes you will find a survivor of domestic violence, it takes a while for them to realize that this is not a good or healthy situation for me. And it's not because she's stupid or anything like that, it's because that awareness is not there. But our service providers actually found that African American women were a little bit quicker with that dawning awareness of this is not a good situation, I need to get out. So many DV victims really had a hard time realizing that their situation is harmful and that there can be a better way of being. In my experience, black women tend to come to this realization a little bit more and a little bit faster. In the interest of time, I'm going to go on to the idea of the strong black woman. Has anybody ever heard of the strong black woman before? Okay, two people. Three people have. Okay. Well, let me explain it to you. It's difficult to explain, but I'd like to start off with this poem by Maria Evans. I am a black woman, tall as a cypress, strong beyond all definition, still defying place and time and circumstance, assailed, impervious, indestructible, look upon me and be renewed. So what this basically means is that the black woman is emotionally resilient. She can take anything that comes at her. But unfortunately, that's actually a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's great for coping and resiliency. If you're keeping your mind together and not letting things bother you, that's fantastic. On the other hand, if you're keeping your mind on everything and not letting things bother you, that's going to wind up killing you after a while because it's causing you a lot of stress. There's actually more and more literature that's coming out about how this idea, this cultural mandate of the strong black woman is something that's causing cardiovascular disease, increases risk for suicide attempts, certain kinds of cancer, because she's keeping everything in and she's keeping everything status quo. She's not going to leave the relationship because a weak black woman would do that, not a strong black woman. Okay, in conclusion, awareness of cultural nuances is absolutely mandatory, like the strong black woman. Discussion of elements of being a strong black woman should be encouraged among the survivors themselves, because a lot of women don't understand that this is something that is actually affecting them and their relationship. And hopefully the use of group work to talk about these ideas are also something that's going to be incorporated in my program as well. Thank you very much. Mariah's next.